You don't need to work with tons of influencers. You need to select the one that the audience is your future customers.
Hi there. Welcome to The Turndown. So you've heard of social influencers and you want to figure out a way to get started. Here's the podcast and the episode that is perfect for you. Today, I sit down with Anjali. Not only is she founder of Anorak, an influencer company, but she also comes from my favorite hometown, which is Montreal. So besides, you know, sharing bagel preferences, we talked to her about successful campaigns that hoteliers have run targeting audiences that are managed by influencers and how to really, as a hotelier today, reach this thriving audience and get them to speak positively about your products and services to inspire not only a youngest generation of travelers, Gen Z, but to reach an audience that may be right now only utilized by the big OTAs around the world. And with that, why don't we get right into it? Anjali, I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome to The Turndown, our podcast that is here to inform and provide insights to hoteliers about everything in travel. Anjali, welcome.
Hello, Sebastian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You have a very interesting story, and I'm very curious about your company, specifically Anorak. Can you tell me more about what your company does and how it came about?
Sure. So Anorak is an influence company. So we create strategies with influencers on social media for any travel brands. So of course, hotels are some of our clients, but we also work for destinations or sometimes brands related to travel. We also work with airport, airline companies, everyone and every brand around travel. And what we do for them is like create a marketing plan in influence and trying to have impactful campaigns for them on social media.
That's amazing. For people who are not familiar with influencers, how would you define, I guess, an influencer and what they do?
Sure. So there's some things that people think, which is not the right things regarding influencers. So we really differentiate influencers and content creators. So someone who is an influencer is someone who has an audience and is making money from his audience. So it could be on any social platform. You have audience following you and you use this to work with brands or work with companies and make money from the audience you created. Some of the influencers are just public figures, not content creators. So if we're talking about an actor, he's an influencer because he's making money from his Instagram account, but he's an actor, he's not a content creator. So if we were to work with people who are, for example, public figures, we would need to have a photographer or a production team to work with them because they won't do their content alone. But we see more and more on social media now, people who are just content creators on social, having audience, sharing insights, sharing their passion, sharing sometimes just their lives on social, having an audience following them, and they are monetizing this audience. So this is influenced. And I also want to push that nowadays we see a lot the blonde girl on the beach with a cocktail, but that's not the only influencers present on social media.
Okay. So let's rewind the clock. How long have been influencers around? Like, at least in its current format, we think of Instagram, we think of even potentially TikTok. What other platforms are in use? You probably know much more than I do.
Sure. So how long? I'd say around a little more than 10 years. It's also depending on the market. Anorak is based in Montreal, but also have offices in Toronto and in Paris. In France, we see that the market is much more mature than here in Canada. So Anorak is a branch of Clark influence, which is more general. And Clark has started in 2017 in Montreal, and that was kind of the beginning. So I'd say around 2010, 2012, the first campaigns and professionalization appeared. But yeah, it's depending on every market. And yeah, it's very new.
Okay. And the platforms that are being used are mostly social media, or should we think of outside of social media as well?
So of course there's social media, and we do a lot on social. We're talking here about Instagram, Facebook, TikTok the most, but also YouTube, Twitch, any other social media platform, sometimes Spotify. As an agency and as a creative agency, we're always trying to put like the influence campaign at most and optimize everything. So our ideal campaign, we're working with someone, creating content, pushing the content on his social media platform, of course. But what we want to do is like get the influencers out of social media and then push it on maybe TV. Maybe it can be in a show. I'm thinking of one of our clients, which is the Guadeloupe Islands. We've been doing a trip in 2019, creating content, a lot of content during this trip. And we've been optimizing every video and pictures we've been doing. Last year, they were going to a show in Montreal. And when they created the booth for the show, they put the influencer here. We bought the right to from the influencers to put it here. So we want to push and optimize all the content created because we know it's expensive and we need to optimize it and use it at large.
So interesting. Before we dive further, I'd love to speak a little bit about yourself, like how you came about, you know, actually getting into that industry. Do you mind giving us, you know, sort of a little bit your background and how you ended up where you are now?
Sure. So I'm French. I arrived in 2017 in Canada for work. I was working at that time in the tourism industry in a third party called a DMC, Destination Management Company. So I was working with amazing colleagues here in Montreal to sell business trips to Europeans and Mexicans coming to Canada. So I was an expert of Canada, knowing every restaurants, hotels, everyone in Canada. I've done that for 4 years. And when the pandemic hits, of course, it was difficult for the company as we were just bringing people from abroad and borders were closed for more than a year and a half. So at that time, Nicolas and Vincent, who created Clark Influence in 2017, reached out to me because they really wanted to create a travel brand because they've seen in the travel industry that they needed expert to work with the travel industry. And that's true that this is something I've seen people from the travel industry like to work with experts in their own industry, which is not the case in every industry. But I really feel like since we've been creating Anorak, we feel lots of brands are like, oh, finally, an influencer agency dedicated to our industry. So that's how Anorak appeared in 2020. So we had time because everybody had time, I think, during the pandemic. So I reached out to lots of people from the industry to just talk about how they would feel about having an agency, doing influencer campaign, doing trips, doing activations. I didn't get any mandate because, of course, it was a very harsh time for the industry, but I got lots of interesting conversation. We created the offer, we created the website, we created all of this. And then in 2021, I was put in the project to make it work. And I think we have amazing clients now that's telling that it's a success and we want to keep it a success for the next years.
That's fantastic. So you were ultimately an influencer before you created your own influencer, I guess, company, if you will.
Right?
You were influencing business travelers coming into Canada. Is that fair?
Yeah, kind of. I think everybody has an influence when we think about the term influencer. Everybody's not making money out of his audience, really? But everybody has an influence amongst the people they're dealing with in the daily life.
Yeah, I'm curious, and we're going to jump to your influence in a minute, but as you were consulting business travelers into Canada, what was one of their most frequent requests? Like, were they requesting a Canadian experience? Was it the sugar shack? Like, help me understand sort of what was
sort of their most... Oh, you mean in my past jobs, what were like foreigners looking for in Canada? Yeah,
correct.
To go in the wood, to see if it was during the winter, to see like the huge amount of snow. Exact.
Okay.
Go to like eat maple syrup, like yeah, definitely this kind of stuff. See like dog sledding, go in the nature, see the canoe if it was during the summer. It's nature. Canada is equal to nature, I think, in the mind of foreigners.
So that's what they expect. And then they land in Montreal or Toronto airport and they're disappointed because their buildings.
No, because when they land, we brought them directly to nature. So they're not disappointed.
Okay.
And at the end, we always finish with Quebec or Montreal to show them that we also have amazing cities, very full of amazing experience. Montreal is really loved from foreigners.
Yeah. Now, this is the podcast is called The Turndown. So we have to ask our sort of standard questions, which is, you know, what is keeping you up at night these days? You know, as you think about your business, as you think about, you know, Anorak, I'm curious what, you know, what's keeping you up at night?
I didn't got the these days. So if I say in general, what's keeping me up is when I take decisions in my life, personal or professional, which is not aligned with who I am or my values. Mostly, it sometimes happens that you need to take decisions and you didn't take the right or you're not sure. And this is the kind of moments where I'm not finding sleep. But I have to say that I have a very easy sleep and this is very rare that I'm not finding sleep. It's like maybe 2 times a year. So I'm very happy to say that I'm trying to not take things personally and have a simple life, making me having a nice sleep and being able to sleep easily at night.
Yeah. Okay. That's very,
don't
very
know if
thoughtful.
It makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like you talk about integrity, you talk about your values. And I think, you know, sometimes in business, we are faced with a decision or an opinion that may go against our values and what we believe in, and you know that may force you into a decision or walk away from something that you may not feel comfortable with. So I appreciate that. I'm curious, you know, specifically, you talked at the in the introduction about the strategy, right? Like influencer successful. I guess marketing, leveraging influencers starts with a strategy.
Yes.
This podcast is ultimately for hoteliers. I'm curious if we, let's start maybe there. How do you work with hotel companies and what do hotel companies need in order to be successful in this area?
Sure. So yes, we're talking about strategy. We're a strategic agency. One thing a hotel should do before doing any marketing plan, action, campaign is analyze what's your objectives for the campaign, for the year, for the months to come. And who's your target? Who do you want to reach out to? We see a lot of influencers being like not done in a good way where, oh, you receive an email from an influencer. Yeah, come to the hotel, take pictures, but who is this people reaching out to? What is he representing? So this is questions you need to ask yourself. Do you want to do a campaign to raise awareness, to drive conversion? Do you want to do it to do content creation, to acquire followers? Every objectives have a very specific and defined mechanics we should use on social. It's such a complicated world, social media, and it's moving every week, every day, every hour sometimes. In the agency, we have 4 people who are strategists, like creative strategists. So they are here to check the trends, monitor the social media, keep us aware of what's going on, to make sure that when we have something coming up for clients, we know what we should do, what mechanics we should use, what influencers is new and would be good to work with. So I'd say the most important for a hotel, if you want to go into influence marketing, is really analyze your needs and who you want to reach out to before doing anything. Because also when you work with an influencer, you see his Instagram profile, you see the picture, you see who he is, the values maybe from it, but it's also data. At the end, an influencer account, an Instagram account is data. We have all the data of what's the age of the audience is reaching, where they are located, what is their interest. So this is important, as you don't want to offer a room or a trip to someone if he's not reaching out to the potential customer that you have and that you want.
So it almost sounds like you need, as a hotelier, to have access to your, I guess, guest profiles in details and understand which audience you want to grow, or identify which audience you want to grow in advance before actually sitting down with you. So let's take, for instance, a hypothetical hotel in Montreal, and they notice that international travel is still behind, let's say, 2019 levels. And they say, hey, my typical guest is 25 to 45 years of age, male and female, single travelers. Is that the level of details you expect from, from a hotelier to then come to you and say, this is my problem, help me solve it?
Exactly. We have a very specific creative brief we're asking. Well, I can't go to my strategist giving a hotel and saying, hey, could you do something, if he doesn't have like every information you just say, like who we want to reach out to. Because you need to create content that will serve the audience at the end. And we need to know which audience we want to reach out to if we want to create the right campaign, which will be working. So yes, definitely, this is the level of detail that we need. And when we have that, before even checking the hotel or doing anything on our site, we will check, what is this target doing on social media? What kind of content are they consuming? Because this is the thing we want to know to create the content they will check. Because we want the content to be for the audience, for the future customer, not serving the brand at the beginning.
That's so interesting. And I assume, because of the, I guess, breadth and depth of social media data, that you can really narrow down your focus to, income, to, social status, to education, to, like, the audience can be really defined extremely narrow, but it potentially could also be fairly broad.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you have any recent examples about a successful hotel campaign, without naming, of course, anything that is potentially confidential. Can you share maybe a couple of best practices of what you see as extremely successful from a social, influencer campaign?
I have a very nice example we've done just after pandemic. There's a big hotel here, it's kind of a resort here in Quebec, which is not from the Quebecois, but it's not where the people usually go. Their audience were more abroad. They were more attracting Europeans and Americans coming. So when pandemic hits, they were stuck with border closed and needed to attract people from Quebec to come to the hotel. So we think about they think about it, and they came to us saying, okay, we need to attract the 40 to 55 years old woman having kids, but who are grown up, and she's able to go on a daily, on a weekend with her husband or her friends, and for some days. And she has a good income because this hotel is quite expensive. It's high-end and five-star hotel. So we reach out to only one influencer. I was working only with one, which was an actress. So she's an influencer because she's an actress, but she wasn't a content creator. So we brought her with our production team to the hotel to create amazing content. She had at that time 25,000 followers, which is not a huge audience, but it's a very specific audience. And we know she's engaging a lot with her audience because she's very authentic and loved by people from Quebec. And she's been giving a promo code to her audience to book the rooms. And she put this promo code in a story for 24 hours. And she's been selling more than 15,000 of sales in the 24 hours. So these examples really show that when you select the right, you don't need to work with tons of influencers. You need to select the one that the audience is your future customers.
This is so interesting. So I loved that your example also included the actual call to action, the booking. I assume the hotel selected their own booking engine. It went direct into their system. There was not an online travel agency involved. There wasn't a high cost commissions involved. This was an influencer reaching an audience with a call to action. Here's a promo code. And the hotel was able to see the results immediately of the work.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
I just want to add, Sebastian, that the hotel has quite an awareness, like they're known here in Quebec. It's difficult to say, I can't say that this example would work with anyone, because you also need to like know a little before buying. This brand is very known in Quebec, so they had the awareness side done in the marketing funnel that we all know, so we can go to conversion. If I have a hotel coming to me like, I need absolute conversion, I need to stop them right before saying, we can try conversion. If we have an amazing influencer and people really trust him, it could work, but we also need to work on awareness and make sure the audience know about it before booking, because sometimes you see it once, twice, and then you're going to book. You don't always book the first time you see. You also need to like make sure, trust, and see before booking.
It's a good comment. I'm also curious, like we'll have likely a lot of people from the audience that are in secondary and tertiary destinations, right? And I want people to discover my property. They're just getting started. Should they think of influencers the same way? Meaning, can your network, your company, can, you know, reaching influencers help create brand awareness?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, we work with any types of hotel. I have examples with very boutique hotel here in Quebec. So yes, definitely. I cannot tell you about another hotel in Montreal we work with who had a very different objectives. They didn't have any content. So they were new, but they didn't buy the content from the past owner. So they called me saying, Angie, we're stuck. We don't have any social media page, no followers, no content. How do we do that? Of course, influence is very interesting. And here we had several objectives. So creating content was one of the first objectives because we had known. Second, their objectives were acquisition of followers because they had, as I said, no social media. So we were starting again from scratch. And the third objectives were awareness, because of course you're going to do awareness thanks to influence, even if it's not the first objectives. We selected 6 influencers depending on every profile of people coming to the hotel that they have identified. So the business people coming, the family coming, the people from Montreal who just want to escape his home. So we really created 6 different types of people coming. And so we hired 6 influencers corresponding to these types. They created, all of them, more than 450 contents for the hotel. So they were like easy for lots of months after that. All the content were right reserved for the hotel. And every influencer created a giveaway to his audience to make a follower acquisition. So they had more than 3,000 followers after the summer. And we had no conversion objectives because the hotel were booked for all the summer, so they couldn't even take a room and a reservation. So that was really content creation, awareness, and follower acquisition.
So interesting. This is great. Some hotel owners may wonder and say, hey, this makes all sense. This is great. This is fantastic. but how much is this going to cost me? Like, do you have a sense for what are some of the variables driving, I guess, cost? I assume content creation is different from, you know, just doing a specific campaign that drives conversion, for instance, right? Like, how much can you share, you know, sure, of what they should budget and what they should consider?
Sure. So there are different things here. So a campaign we're managing from A to Z is starting between, I'd say, $8,000 and $15,000. We handle everything. In this, it can be one influencer, sometimes it's four. It always depends. We make tailor-made strategy for every client. Of course, as the influencer fee are including in our rates, it can go up to anything depending if you want to work with Justin Bieber or not. It might cost a little. On the other end, something I do a lot with clients, because nobody is always able to put this money in marketing, is consulting. So as a consultant, we have access to trends, to data, to things that hotels don't have, and they need help for us to just create the strategy. So we could, for some thousands of dollars, just create the strategy for them and they implement it. Sometimes they just need advice to help them select the right influencer. So I also do package depending on the needs of the hotel. And I do this because we know that it's a very specific expertise that we have. We want to help people to use it the right way. And also we show our value by being consultant. Almost all the people I've been consultant for after that bought a campaign because they really see like the added value of working with an influence company, because we have like we're being trained every week on influence. We know everyone. We have prices with the influencers. We know how to reach out to them. And what we hear a lot from our clients is that influence is time consuming when you do it alone, and time is money, so you want to save it.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the future of where this industry is heading, right? Like, we hear a lot about AI potentially helping content creators create, you know, bulk content. This is still a fairly new industry as well, but I'm curious, where do you see innovation? Where do you see most, I guess, changes happening right now?
Are you talking about, you're talking about the influence industry? Okay. So yes, AI is a big change. We've already seen it. We've been integrating AI, some of our campaigns, pushing it to our clients because it's a very good tool to use sometimes. However, AI is nothing without human. I just want to push this, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should like understand it, use it in a good way. I think the travel industry could use it in very good ways too. I just finished to write our trends for 2024, and AI is a big part of it. So I'll be able to share it. It will be on our blog in the next weeks. So yeah,
you can share some bite here, or like if you have anything that you want to share, it's perfectly
sure.
Fun.
So this is a big part about AI and how it's going to, but it's for the travel industry, not the influence industry. Your question was about the influence industry. It's, as you say, pretty new. It's crazy how I jumped from the travel industry, which is a very old-fashioned way industry, from a brand new industry, like the ages at the agency is like around 25 years old maximum. And I think it's something very promising for the future, because people are really using social media to have news today. So content and things are read on social now. So all the brands and all the people who want to reach out to people now are going on social media. So I think it's very promising, but we also need to put limits and make sure, and we have a role, I think, as an agency to make sure that influencers are not asking too much and are like doing the things the right way and not doing bad things on their audience, because they're talking to millions of people sometimes. And also in the other way, like making sure that brands are not asking too much too. Like, we really have the role of monitoring the new industry which is being created.
So we have a responsibility to make sure that it's a, there's an integrity and there's an accuracy around the content and the stories that are being told. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I am referring to that. We just launched a code of ethics for influencers. We're working with trying to make them understand what is being an influencer, all the controversial stuff that we've been seeing, that we, this code of ethics can sometimes help them take conscious of how powerful they can be sometimes. We also see that in the new generations, when you ask people, what do you want to do later? Like 50% is saying influencer now, but do they really know what it means to be an influencer? They need to know. So that's also important to push all on in our perspective of the ethics that an influencer should be aware of when he's putting content on social.
Yeah, interesting. Let's go to the dark side. I'm curious, like for a minute, like, because influencers can have a bad reputation, or there is a stigmatism on around influencing, that there is probably a few players that have, you know, sort of tarnished the reputation of influencers. I'd love your sort of thoughts on, you know, what are some bad examples that, you know, or areas that we should, as owners and operators and hoteliers, watch out for?
Sure. So it's difficult because you never really know. Of course, as you said, it's a little portion of influencers we're talking about. It's just they're taking lots of space in the media coverage. When you see all the influencers doing an amazing job, they're like much more than the influencers doing a bad buzz or bad job. What we should check, we always check the profiles. It's kind of, you see it as an experience when you see the profiles, if you can like trust them, but there's no like tool saying this is 100% sure. We're all human, so you never know what could happen. Of course, we, if there's a doubt, don't go. Because if there's a doubt, there's no doubt, I always say. But yeah, that's a fact. Influence has a very bad reputation, and that's our work to say that when influence is used in a good way, it's very good and in a good manner. And I think most of the influencers are really aware of that, and it's a shame that the little percentage not doing the things right are punishing the other.
Yeah, in search and travel search, we often have official site, right? Like sort of a label that illustrates, this is the property advertising, right? Versus here is a online travel agency or advertiser or marketing company advertising a specific room or specific offer, a specific travel product. You mentioned earlier in your stories that France was a bit more sophisticated or forward with influencers than, let's say, Canada. Do you foresee at some point that content created or distributed by influencers will need a stamp of approval, or is official, is, you know, I've seen some content that has to actually declare this is a paid content, or I'm getting compensated for this social media post.
What, right? You're like saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're saying is a law in Canada and in mm-hmm. France. Okay. A content creator cannot push a content on social media which he has been paid for without saying clearly that it's an ad. So yeah, it's crazy. You don't know it, and lots of people don't know it. And when we go on social every day, we still see very famous influencers pushing content, and we know it's an ad, and it's not put. This is against the law. Like, the consumer need to know that this is an ad. So yeah, it's more advanced in France. It's beginning to start to being really put in a law in France. Here it's still at the beginning. Push a stamp, so if it's an ad, it should be there. It's not. Who is checking? We don't really know. In France, they started to really check, and they punished, and they obliged the influencer. The influencers who didn't do it had, of course, a ticket, but they also had to put a black post during a month saying, I have done something against law. This was an ad and blah, blah, blah. So we've seen, like, it was some months ago when they pushed the law, they really did it with big influencers to show, like, maybe examples also and tell people, put the ad because you can have bad things from this. So yes, definitely, there's already a stamp on the content creation. And what we want to do with our ethic code here in Canada is put a stamp on the profile at all saying this people has read our code of ethics, which means he has at least the awareness of what the ethics about influence should be according to the industry.
Interesting. Before we wrap up, I want to sort of continue on our journey forward looking, right? And I have two sort of questions for you. One has to do with, let's say, future vision. In 10 years from now, right, how will travelers discover destinations travel product? Is it the same way? Will social media be the number one choice? What's your sort of prediction in that area?
That's a very good question. I had a big think that metaverse was going to be something. It's not right now. We don't know.
Oh, so you were a fan of Zuckerberg. You were like...
I can't say... I'm not a fan of Zuckerberg. I'm not a fan of metaverse specifically, but I really saw something. Like the young generation, they're afraid of traveling. They're tight on a budget. They're not sure they want to travel by plane. They have like some doubts that the older generation don't have. And if you're able to be in your couch and enjoying the people, talking to people, like, why do you travel? To experience, to see things, to talk to people, to discover food, for the experience at all. But if with the metaverse we're able to go as deep as people are doing with their travel, why should people pay for something they can do for their couch? So I know this is not encouraging. I'm not even encouraging it. I don't want the travel to be there at that point, but maybe it's going to be there sometimes. I am a big fan, of course, of human to human, of really traveling, but we're also aware of how the planet is going and how the travel industry as part of it, as the all the planes like have a very big impact on this. So metaverse was something I haven't talked about it actually for months, and people are not talking about it, but it was really something 2 years ago when COVID hit. Actually, like, people really went into that. For the travel in 10 years, it's, yeah, difficult to say because 10 years is far away, but not that far too.
But you think some form of virtual reality allowing us to discover a destination before we actually travel?
Yes, that could be something, and it's already something. When you go to fairs, you see like metaverse to check the destination before going to understand how it is, see the landscapes. But I still think that people will, when they travel, they will do it simply and do it for the experience of meeting people, eating food, discovering culture. I think it's getting more and more into this kind of travel, and also local travel. Like, we see more and more people going close to their home. And I think COVID had a big impact in that too. We discovered that Quebec is beautiful, actually. You don't need to take a plane. For France, the same. People rediscovered France. So the local travel also is very interesting.
Yeah. You also made an interesting comment that provided me quite a bit of thought, which is, you know, the young generation is afraid to travel, right? And for various reasons, right? One could argue that home is a safe place, or so we were trained for 2 years that by not leaving your home, you're actually going to stay healthy, or you're going to not be exposed to viruses, right? Or it could be that they're experiencing their life on a digital device, on their phones, right? They're spending some time, I don't know, a long time.
Percentage where Gen Z is spending more time on their phone than interacting with people.
I'm sure there are statistics for that. How do we get them to leave the couch? How do we get them to leave? Is this all our responsibility?
When you say ours, from the hotel industry, like from the
travel industry as a whole, we want them to leave their homes and get on a plane or take the bus or the train and go places, right? Because our success as travel offers or as a travel facility depends on it, if you will. But it's also a fantastic industry for people who are not afraid to travel, right?
So yes.
How do we get that next generation to not be afraid?
I'd say inspiring, and that new generation is listening a lot to social media and to influencers. So maybe giving this key message that traveling is amazing. It's an experience. It will change your life. You need to do it to discover. And pushing this kind of content and inspiring travel content that we're seeing a lot on social. This is the kind of content and things that should inspire people to go and travel. But also demystify all the difficult things that could be a travel, or maybe we'll work with travel agents if you're very not keen on creating your own journey.
Interesting. Well, look, I think this is a great way to wrap up this conversation. Anjali, thank you so much for joining me today, for sharing your insights, for providing super valuable best practices in a very quickly changing ecosystem and environment. I invite everyone to discover Anorak and Anjali's company, but do work wherever you are with a social media strategist, because there's so much opportunity in telling the stories through the eyes of influencers. Anjali, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you for listening to The Turndown. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in next week as we discover new exciting guests.